I had aspirations for that tower. I was going to get the biggest swinging mead flag of all time and have it waving off that tower. So every time the people of Kildare looked north, they knew who ran this neck of the woods. Commander Ryle!
Absolutely.
This is probably not a foregone conclusion or of any sort at all. I'm going to give Bord's Mill the nod here, David.
Wow. I'm not, but yeah, I admire it.
Look, I love my county. I love playing for Meath. I'm very passionate about it. I think it's the best county, you know, going. I still love it. I want us to dominate in both codes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'd have Rotote still won, would you?
No,
don't give me... If you won't answer if you would have Rotote in one, then don't even go there.
Nunc est bibendum. And all the classical scholars out there will know what that means. And if they don't... Jimmy Google will sort it out.
You've jumped over the fence, baby.
Absolutely. Little boy with his finger in the dike.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Erskine and Mickey Brennan. And a few things to get through on this week's episode. And I suppose there's no better place to start, Davey, than on the N3 and the trip up to Kingsbarn Breffni on Saturday night. A lot of the Meath supporters doing what I have to do on a regular basis. And I wonder if they all enjoyed it.
Mickey, what time did you come home at on Sunday?
Time did I come home at on Sunday?
It was about 12 o'clock.
Oh, no, it wasn't about 12 o'clock on Sunday. No, I came home at about 3 o'clock on Sunday.
I was out walking the dogs along the M3 and I seen what looked like your car coming up to the toll bridge, but obviously not. I thought you were going to talk about our new intro. You're going straight into the meeting, Calvin.
Oh,
Jesus, I got new intros. Come on.
I forgot about the new intros, of course. Yeah. I'd say, I wonder if our listeners are happy about our new intros. I think I have to say, both the Loyal Royals and the We Are Meath intros, they're something new and they're something a little bit more up to date, let's just say.
Absolutely. Mickey, yeah, they're very, very nice. I love them. I think there's
absolutely
a bit of everything there, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is. Yeah. Great to have a lot of our listeners as well involved. Great to have a couple of different things that have happened throughout the podcast over 1,001 podcasts, Davey.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, We hit our 1,000th podcast between We Are Meath and our Loyal Royals podcast last week when we did the preview between Davey Rispin and Paul Fitzpatrick for the We Are Derby. And that was our 1,000th podcast. And that's a lot of time, Davey.
Yeah, and listen, a few people were texting me saying fair play to us and everything. Look, it is. It's a nice little accolade, if you like, but... I'd be quick to say that if we didn't get the support that we got on a weekly basis from our listeners, we wouldn't have got there. Like, in truth, you know, it's all down to them really that we do what we do. So, and we do enjoy it. We might give out about it from time to time. And if we get a bad defeat and you have to go and talk about it, it's not the nicest thing to do on a Sunday night or after a rake of pints, but we enjoy it behind it all, don't we?
Ah, we do. Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have 1,000 podcasts done. We wouldn't have 1,000 podcasts in the can if we didn't. And if you did, that's some torture, so it is. I just can't believe that, you know, like, if I had to listen to myself 1,000 times, I'd be in a hospital now at this stage, Davey. But talking about winning and losing, Davey, and you were saying, you know, well, it's hard to come on to the podcast after losing a game and whatever, and to talk about the game and whatever. Well, it was honours even in Kingsbarn Breffni when all the listeners, as I said, made that trip up to Kingsbarn Breffni like I do on a weekly basis to do the commentaries for Shannon Side Northern Sound. And we came away with a share of the spoils. It was Cavan 11 points, Meath 11 points. And on reflection, probably a fair result. But if either team were to feel a little bit aggrieved that they didn't come away with the 2 points, probably Meath would edge those stakes.
I think so, Mickey. Yeah, they had the better opportunities and they obviously had a really handsome lead at half time. I know 4 points doesn't sound like a completely unassailable lead, but when you look at the way in which Meath controlled that first half, and that's the word that we kind of use to describe the first half performance from Meath, it was really controlled and disciplined. They were in a really strong position and they will rue the couple of missed opportunities that they had in the second half through Shane Walsh and Doughty McGowan, and ultimately probably did well to salvage or scrap a draw out of it, because Cavan hit the front entering injury time and they had all the ascendancy in that too. But Meade found a way, and credit to Sean Brennan for coming up and hitting a great free, pressure free to get us a share of the spoils. And I think it would have been a travesty if we didn't get something from it.
Some peril, Lee Rogie, on Sean Brennan to come up and hit that free on the stroke of full time, normal time, with 5 minutes of additional time to play. He didn't know how much additional time there was to come because it wasn't announced until after he hit the free over the bar. Brilliant 45 as well. Free kick from about 45 metres out. And he did a little hop, skip, and a jump, and he was delighted with it and can be quite proud of his efforts on the evening. And in fairness to Mead, didn't really cough up any goal chances to Cavan on the evening.
No clear-cut chances anyway that you can think of. And again, credit to the Meath defensive line of Sean Brennan, but also the full back line who were superb on the night. O'Halloran, Keoghan and O'Neill in particular, I thought they were superb. Even the likes of Keane McBride in the first half, there was a couple of dangerous balls that came in and Keane McBride dealt with anything that came in high. And it was just a really, really disciplined defensive effort for me, as it has been for the most part of this league. Like, that's the fourth game out of five that we've conceded 11 scores or less. So it's not just an overnight success or anything like that. They've been really working on this, and it's a good system that's in place now. And, you know, hats off to them.
Shout out for Adam McDonald coming onto the field with a few minutes to go and not receiving a card when pandemonium hit and there was cards being dished out left, right and centre. But Adam McDonald somehow seemed to hide away from receiving them.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how, but yeah, he did, and fair play to him. He probably failed, because that's generally what he comes on to do, isn't it? No, look, I was sure he got one when Rory Kinsella got his black card. I don't know what it was. I just thought it was him. Not sure why I think that. But anyway, he came on and managed to keep his bib clean for once.
What that point does for me is it secures Division 2 status for 2025. Looking down at the table, if I'm not mistaken, Davey, you know, the teams below me have to play each other. They've got the head-to-heads on Louth and on Kildare, so they've got that. And it just takes the pressure off going into the final two games of this league for me. Then, you know, I suppose at the start of the year when we were gauging what would be a good year for me, top four of Division 2 would be a really good finish. And they're probably one victory away from that now. And they've got, what, Cork and Donegal left to play.
Yeah, I think fourth would have been what most people would have been content with, and particularly after the first two games, which were disappointing to say the least, the draw against Fermanagh and the disappointing performance and result up in Armagh. They bounced back really well, and that was probably Meath's best performance against Cavan. Okay, the second half didn't match what we seen in the first, but at the same time, I think they'll be pretty pleased with what they produced overall, and they're building now, and they've gone three games unbeaten now. They've got Cork to come on Paddy's weekend, so that's another opportunity, as you said, to rubber stamp fourth position and a comfortable no drama end to the league for once, which is nice. Would have been nice to be in the promotion hunt, don't get me wrong, but I think we're probably about where we deserve to be.
Yeah, and like mathematically we're still in the promotion hunt, but it's on highly unlikely as well at the same time, dude.
Yeah, it is. I think you needed to beat Cavan, really. And I think you might have went to Donegal if you beat Cork the last day with potentially a chance, but it's all but gone now because our score difference isn't what the top two is. So we're a good bit off there. So I think whilst it's mathematically possible, it's nigh on impossible, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we do have a number of talking points from the game, I'm sure, And we will go back into that in a little bit more depth later on. So what we're going to do is we're going to move on to the next part of the podcast. It was the ladies coming up against Galway. They travelled over to Ballinasloe, if I'm not mistaken, to take on Galway in their game in the league. And it was a victory that we were hoping for, Davey, because if I'm not mistaken, Galway were bottom of the table. And it looked like it was a chance for Meath to, you know, push themselves back into the promotion hunt. But they came a cropper to the wind in the first half. Galway taking full advantage of it, led 1-9-2 at the half-time whistle, and then won the game by 1-12 to Meath 7 points. So Meath outscored them 5-3 in the second half. But I suppose Galway probably got plenty of players behind the ball that weren't going to concede goals.
No, they did a lot of the heavy lifting in the first half, you're right, and wind assisted. They made the move in the first 15 minutes, actually, Mickey. They led by, I think, a goal and five or a goal and six to just a point. And Meath actually created a few decent opportunities for goals themselves in the first 15, which they didn't take. Emma Duggan's burned a good opportunity, and Marion Farley did likewise. At the other end, Shauna Hines ran riot. She got a goal and five. She gave Anya Sheridan a really tough time, but Anya's been one of our more consistent performers, you know, for the last while. So it was a difficult day for me. Then fortunately, that the hangover from the Armagh game seems to have carried on. It was always a banana skin on paper, but one that you fancied me to bounce back in. But just two scores on the day, just, you know, 5 points from Emma Duggan, three from play, and 2 points from play from Marion Farley. That's not good enough. You need more than that. Unfortunately, you're not going to win too many games with just two scorers. And they still have our hopes, slim as they are, of a league final spot. Kerry and Cork still to come. I think both home games, actually. But it's not looking as likely or as... it's not looking as likely or as possible as it was a couple of weeks ago before the Armagh game. It's amazing how quickly a season can turn. But again, I'd stress that it's still early days under Shane McCormick. They won their first three. They're after losing their last two. I think if you look at it objectively, three wins out of five, you'd have taken that, you know, hands off or before the league started. So I think it's probably okay, but it's important that they get another result or two before the championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And Armagh got the better of Kerry on the weekend. Cork lost to Mayo. So Cork are bottom of the table. Kerry are only a point ahead of Meath in the table on 10 points. So if Meath were to win their last two games against Kerry and Cork, they would actually still go through to the league final, which would be brilliant, because they have the head-to-head over Dublin if Dublin were to win their final two games as well. But look, still, it's still there for them, but that is a disappointing result for them.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, sticking with the Meath LGFA, the Meath Miners were out in championship action, if I'm not mistaken, on Saturday. They were playing in Dungannon against the Sneaky Dubs, and Meath came away with a victory. 2-13 to Dublin's 2-9, a magnificent victory for the Meath Minor Ladies.
Yeah, superb win. Really high scoring, really entertaining game, and very little to choose between the sides. Just a brilliant win. Kerry Cole was absolutely outstanding for Meath. We know her credentials from what she did for Nafina last year. Incredible to think she's still a minor, isn't it? Yeah. And her leading the way for both Nafina teams last year. Orla Riley as well, daughter of Dicey and brother of Dara, from St Dalton's, was superb. Got 2-2 in the game. And Poppy Byrne clipped over 6 points as well for Meath. So a couple of really outstanding performers. There was also scores for Isabel Thorpe, who got 2 points, and Anna Miles, who also got 2 points. Great to see another St Dalton's player, Lauren Rennicks, on the team from a personal standpoint as well. So a great start for Meath all in all. And I know this is a team that have done a lot of work in the off season, and great to see Fergal Harney involved in the backroom team as well. A man that we obviously know really well, and he just couldn't stay away.
Yeah, great to see Fergal Harney back involved, because he's an unbelievable servant to ladies football and Meath, and that's brilliant to see him in there helping out with the minors. And that's a brilliant, brilliant victory over the neighbours. So it is, and we'd love to see that. And every time Meath beat Dublin, we're going to promote it here on the podcast. So we are, for sure, be it in a game of Tiddlywinks, be it a game of under-12s, or be it as high a stakes as the Meath minor ladies. So well done to them getting their 2-13-2-9 victory over Dublin and Youngani on Saturday. Next up, Davey, looking forward, it's the Camogues taking on Derry next Saturday, the 9th of March at 2 p.m. That game to be played in Derry. And there's been a little bit of news coming from the Meath Camogie camp. Of course, Neely Cole has stepped away as the manager due to for personal reasons, let's just say.
Yeah, which is a real shame, because I think things were building nicely with Meath in the early season, a win and a draw, obviously, from the first two league games. But unfortunately, Neely's had to make the decision to step aside. Good to see his brother Gary is going to remain at the helm, along with the joint manager from Limerick. So all is not lost. I don't think there'll be much change. And hopefully it doesn't deter them in any way, shape or form, because they've made a really decent start to the season, win over Cavan and a draw over against Westmeath. So hopefully they can push it on, and it'll just be a momentary blip. And I'm sure Neely will be keeping a close eye on proceedings as well from afar. But yeah, a shame, because I think he was a really good man for the job. But Gary Cole, his brother, is a great man to have as a deputy.
And I'm sure Neely will still be involved, but just won't be taking the reins and stuff like that. And exactly, there won't be too much fluctuation within the whole thing. And, you know, that this is a chance for them to go up and show their appreciation to Neely on the road to Derry next Saturday, the 9th of March. Moving on then, Davey, sticking with the Sticks, it's going to be the Meath Hurlers taking on Laois and Navan next Sunday at 2 p.m. And I'd say the last time Meath and Laois played would have been in the old All-Ireland Championship in the Leinster in a hurling match. I can't remember Meath and Laois meeting in a league game for quite some time.
Yeah, nor can I. Listen, Laois have been operating for some years in Lee McCarthy. Like, we talked about the job that Cheddar Plunk had done last year, or in the last few years, and obviously Eddie Brennan, or Nicky Brennan as well. So look, they're kind of making a step down, but looking to bounce straight back up. Eddie Brennan, not Nicky Brennan, former GA president. But it's a big test for me. It is, Mickey. And I actually think Shorshire was very happy with their performance down in Kerry. I know the result might suggest otherwise, but they're in a really decent position, and Kerry got a couple of late goals in that to probably put a little bit of gloss on the score sheet for them that day. So Meath will pick the positives from the last two away days that they've had against Carlow and Kerry, but they'll be pretty pleased to return to home soil, back to the scene of the crime where they beat Kildare. It's going to be a huge test for them, don't get me wrong, but it's one that I think they'll rise to. Hopefully Shawnee Martin might be back from injury. He was a big loss the last day. He offers you plenty from play as well. So if he's back, he'll bolster the squad, and Sean Quigley should come in for a start as well. But it's a formidable test, but the type of test that you want at this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, like, Carlow being the top team in the group, Laois being the second team in the group. And we're joint on points with Kerry after Kerry getting that victory over us, but they do go ahead of us on the head-to-head. And then it'll be a down match to follow up, Davey. So, again, a chance for the lads to, for Saoirse and the lads to maybe blood in some new players, get to see some new players. Because as we've talked about in this league this year, there is no relegation. So, like, you got to use it for what it is this year. You're not going to get promoted, but you can take from it what you want. And they have to take positives from this league campaign.
Yeah, the bigger picture is the performances. And I think, to be fair, up to press, that they've probably got 2.5 performances. The Carlow game got away from them, but they were competitive to a point in that. I think they'll be pleased with the way in which they performed against Kildare, and they'll be pleased in which the way they performed against Kerry. So they'll be looking for another performance. And if they do play like they can, there's no reason why they can't get a result here. But Laois are a good side, and they're a seasoned side as well. So it's not going to be easy by any shape, any means, sorry. But hopefully they can rise to the occasion, and hopefully there'll be a good meat crowd in there to support them, because it's the standalone game next weekend in Navan.
Yeah, absolutely. As Davey said, it's 2 p.m. next Sunday, Mead taking on Laois in the 2A Hurling League. So anybody available, please get down to Park Tolchin next Sunday and get behind Saoirse and the lads, because they're putting in a massive, massive effort. And I think the only way is up for this this group of players. And they won't be judged on their game against Laois, but it'll be great to see some positives coming from it. And who knows, victory would be lovely as well.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
So, Davey, at this point, we normally go to our GAApredictions.ie segment, but we're going to hold that off for a few minutes, and we're going to go straight to our lottos, and we'll get them done, and we might even go to Insta after that and leave the GAA predictions till the end, but we're going to go straight into the lottos, Davey.
Yeah, first up is my own club, Cortown, Mickey, from the 1st of March, which was last Friday night. We had an €18,200 jackpot. It wasn't won. The numbers were 8, 12, 28 and 31. Jerry Mulroe, Marguerite Hart, Sean Mackey, Lorraine Curran and Josephine Connell were the 520 euro winners. Sox won the two tickets to Cavan and Mead. I don't know many Sox. No, Jerry McLaughlin, the Mead hurling kitman, is called Sox. I'm not sure if it was him or not. But anyway, we go again on Friday night with 18,300 euro. And we've got a pair of Kings of Leon tickets as well, from Malahide Castle later on in the summer as well, which would be a nice prize for someone.
Jews.
Yeah, we do try. Castletown next in, and they're building up nicely at the minute as well. They've got a 7,700 euro jackpot, not won last week. 7, 18, 26 and 28, their numbers. Lucky dip winners receiving 30 euro were Anne Young, Donald Conway, Angela Price, Joan Lilly, May Weldon and Patricia Smith. Next in is Navan O'Matney's. Their jackpot is currently still capped at 15,000. Their numbers from last week were 4, 15, 16, and 23. No winner, as I said. Three match, three winners. John Mead, Jean Caffrey, and Valerie Kenny. The next draw takes place on the 5th of March. Next in is Drumbara, and their results from last week, €5,400 of a jackpot, not one. 1, 2, 17, and 24, their numbers. 30-year winners were Chantelle Quigley, Mark McManus, Abby Hart, Frankie Lynch, and Jean Campbell. Kilmainham, their neighbours from the 26th of February, no winner of their latest draw, 14, 18, 22, and 23. Their jackpot next week will roll on to €11,300. Five lucky dip winners from last week, each receiving €20, were N. Lynch, John Morris, Rosetta Farley, Declan Black, and Larry Manning. Manalvi from Monday the 26th of February, they had 6, 7, 23 and 26 as their numbers. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Anne Herity, Carmel Pronti and Fergal McCabe. The next draw takes place on Monday the 4th of March and it's worth €7,000 at manalvigfc.ie, or you can play it on the Clubforce app. The next one I have in, Mickey, comes from Dunmore Ashburn. The results from last week, €9,500 of a jackpot, not one. Match three winners were Joanne Murray, Kathleen Gleeson, Eva Green, and Jacqueline Woodruff. The numbers were 2, 6, 23, and 28. Where am I going now? Waterstown from last Sunday, the 25th of February, 1, 6, 17, and 18. No winner of their €10,000 jackpot. They did have a couple of match three winners, including Jenny Barry, David Webster, and Frank Burke. They share €100 between them. The jackpot stays at €10,000. Play via Clubforce. Envelopes also available in Curran's Garage, O'Brien's in Restaurant, or O'Brien's in Johnstown, or in the Clubhouse Bar. And finally, for me, Mickey, is from Menalty from last Sunday night, the 25th of February. Jackpot of €3,000. The numbers were 5, 12, 17, and 20. No jackpot winner. Five match three winners, each receiving €40, were Paul McCabe, Kate Allen, David Daly, Olivia Cusson, and Lauren Lennon. Special online prize of €50 went to Geraldine Wilson. And they go again tonight, Sunday, with €3,200.
Davey, I have no update from Simonstown, just to let you know. But the Central Sounds Lotto last week from the 26th was not won. It was €1,400. The numbers drawn were 8, 16, 26, and 28. As I said, no jackpot winner. Five €25 winners were James O'Donoghue, Joan Kearns, Martin Gorman, Aoife Clark, and James O'Donoghue. This week's lotto will be €1,500. Kilmainham Wood GFC, their lotto last week on the 26th also was not won. 13, 18, 22, and 23 were the numbers drawn. The five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20 each, were Donald McGee, Alva Weldon, Joe Ward, A. Clark, Amelia, Rory, and Tommy Morris. And this week's lotto will be a massive €2,400. So that is our lotto segment looked at. And it's now time to move on. Are we going to go to gapredictions.ie or are we going to go to our lottos, Davey? Or are we going to go to Instagram?
gapredictions.ie, Mickey. Hot off the press.
Okay. Hot off the press.
So, €100 each for joint winners for the second consecutive week. We've had joint winners, but new winners in Paddy McMahon and Mr. Colm Keyes, Mickey, from Simonstown Gaels. 42 points apiece. Colm Keyes backing up his knowledge with 42, along with Paddy McMahon. Two lads getting £100 each. So, joint winners. Incidentally, just looking down at it, Eddie Halligan from the We Are Cavan podcast missed out by 1 point. 41 points he got. 42, the winning score. And Micheál Riley and former Mead manager Mick O'Dowd had 40 points apiece. So they just missed out as well. Margins are so fine as well, aren't they? But 42 points is savage scoring. I'll have a look later at their to see did they get the two draws or how exactly they must have got maybe one of the draws and every other result but the other draw, surely, because that's what's up there, isn't it? You did well yourself.
Yeah, I think like I had four results wrong and I had 38, so four threes or 12. There was probably a possible 50, so I'd say they probably got two results wrong out of the whole lot.
Paul Green is back on top of the We Are Mead League. He spent a week away, but he's back where he feels he probably belongs with 39 points for his fifth round, and that gets him to 170, which actually puts him 4 points clear at the top with two rounds to go. He leads by four over Ross McGrath, who's on 166 in second. There's two players in joint third, Kevin Galligan and the one and only Jelly, James O'Dwyer, 161 apiece for the lads. Jelly turning in 33, solid week. He's been really consistent. 34, 34, 34 and 33 in his last 4 weeks. And he was on a stag in Edinburgh over the weekend as well. So that's pretty good going, I have to say, from Jelly.
Did you say he's on a stag in Edinburgh?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't get the results from Simonstown Lotto on Friday night.
He there managed to do his predictions, though.
he didn't get any
encouragement. Right. Some people almost forgot, but Jelly, in fairness to him, was on the ball. Just below him is Brendan Byrne from Balnibraki, 158, 36 points for the week. Good scoring there. 155 for Fergal Lynch. He had a little bit of a dip, just 29 points, but he's still in contention, 15 points off the lead. 154 then is shared by Jarlett Brennan, Con Cleary, and Tomás Barker. 153 for Mickey Brennan, Ronan Casty, and Shane Riley. Mickey, 38 points for the week.
Yeah, I know. I told you, Davey, I told you last week, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You wouldn't believe me when
I told you. It's amazing what you get for getting splinters in your arse nowadays, isn't it?
I told you I was coming for you, Davey.
Well, I'm not a million miles off you, Mickey. I've got 151 with John Lynch, so I'm only 2 points off you. I'll take that. Still a bit to go. 2 weeks to go. It's going to be a good finish.
Fitness is your problem, Davey. You know, you started really well. You went into this lead, and I was like, "Going, my fitness towards the end of this league will come true." It's muscle memory, Davey.
Yeah, but I've got loads of class, Mickey. So look, you can't beat class. 150 for Brian Smith and Donica Lynch. It's 147 for Richie Quigley. 145 for four players, including Henry Clifford, Kevin Coyne, Kira Donoghue, and Barry McDonald. 144 for Shane Mulvaney and George Plunkett. It's 143 for Colin Finlay, Jared Goff, and the ham, Robbie Keane. Andrew Daly's got 142. It's 141 for Colin Brennan, Glenn McDonald, and Colin O'Brien, who's had a good week. In fairness, Colin with 38 points gets himself up to 141. 140 then for James Coslow, Mark McCoy, and Shane Traynor. Paul McCarthy and Shane McNiffer are on 138. It's 137 for Damien Farley, Brian Flynn, Hugh Gamble. 136 for Olivia Cusson, Owen Griffin, Thomas McLeod, Shane Mangan, Conor Mulroe, Dennis Ryan. 135 for David Lynch and Alan Tormey. Hugh Durrigan, Nicholas Finlay, and Seamus Patrick Gallagher are on 134. It is 133 for Donald McLeod, 133 also for Joseph McWeeney, 132 for Terry Bruton, Zach Griffin, Barry Hand. Mossy Burke's got 131 along with Paul Finnegan, Mags Joyce, James Lynch, Tommy Owens, and Darren Traynor. David Flash Gordon's got 130. 129 then for Sean Hughes, Leo Weldon, and Brendan White. Alton Blake, Stephen Shepherd have 128. 127 then for David Byrne, Pádraig Carlin, Katie Alwell, Sean Ryan, and Paddy Stapleton. My word, PS Tapes is not having a good time, but is he?
What is he on? 127. Okay.
126 then for Harry Corbley. It's 125 for Susan Farrell, Fergus Grimes, Annette Lynch, Gabriel McDonnell, and Sean Murray. It's 123 for Stephen Brennan, Declan Masterson, and John McGurty. 122 for Owen Dugan and Conor O'Loughlin. 121 for Declan Dixon and Mark Kelly. Gary Alder's got 120. God almighty, that's disappointing, isn't it, for Gar? 119 for Ryan O'Rourke. 119 for Colin Gleeson. 117 for Nicky Gogan and Alan McCormick. Alan McCormick actually got the draw on the Meade game because he tweeted me. So he got, what did he get? He got 7 points for the draw and he only managed 20 points from the other 15 games. My word. Anyway, Stephen Connolly's got 116 along with Owen Reid. 114 for Brian Coleman and Robert Purfield. It's 111 for John Timoney. 110 for Freddie Coyne, Garrett Lynch, Aidan Smith, and everyone below that, I think I'm safe in saying, has missed at least 1 week, so we won't bother calling them out because they're fairly out of contention, I think it's fair to say, Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking down through some of them, like Gary Alders at 120, Susan Farrell at 124, PS Tapes at 127, Stephen Shepherd at 128, Flash at 130, Colin O'Brien 141, Robbie Keane at 143 from the I Bloody Love Fantasy Football podcast. I'm just glad that we're both ahead of both of the lads from that one, Robbie Keane and Paddy Stapleton, both soccer heads. So we're staying ahead of them. Kevin Coyne at 145. Davey, you're 151. I'm 153. Ferg Lynch from the Bee Chronicle at 155. Jelly is up there at 161. And then the leader at 170. It's still all to be played for in the last two games, Davey. I'm going to make a burst. I'm going to make a burst, so I am, in the last couple of games.
Whatever you say, Renan. Well, I've got you in my sights now, though. I've got a new target.
I had you in my sights. I've been behind you since week two.
Yeah, so you're the front runner now. I'm okay with this. I've got something to aim at.
Come here, Davey. Keep looking at my ass, all right?
Do you know what? Hang on. I was like a horse that was after jumping the last. I was just getting idle out in front. I'm just waiting for some company, and I've got it now with you beside me, Mickey. So I'll hopefully finish strong.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm going to take a little bit of time out here and gloat about passing you out with two games to go.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, so Davey, just chilled out there and relaxed, and I've gloated about being ahead of you in the GA predictions.ie league, and we are going to finish out our podcast now with Instagram Interactive. Lots of talking points. We said it at the top of the podcast when we talked about the Cavan Meath game that we will return to an awful lot of the talking points because we had a huge amount of people get in contact with us. And we're going to go to that segment of the podcast now.
Yeah, Sean Fitzgerald starts it off by saying Oisin Smith hat-trick.
Tell me about this, Davey.
Yeah, it was a great hat-trick for us on Thursday night. Two in the first half, one in the second. His third goal was a great finish. Lobbed the keeper from a bit of an angle. I'm going to say he meant it. Could have easily been going for a point, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because I know he has it in his locker. So lovely finish. Great hat-trick.
Yeah, lovely to get a hat-trick, so it is at any time, even at this early part of the year.
He also said that Tom Carmody is finally kicking a few scores, yeah.
Tom Carmody for 9 points for Trim, yeah, absolutely. What an addition he's going to be to Trim, and has been since he joined them.
You never know, he could be an outsider for maybe a run with Meade maybe next year if he continues that sort of form. You never know. We've seen it happen before.
Yeah. We have indeed, yeah.
Leo Weldon said, super game from Brennan. Lack of goals, a problem though.
Oh, look, I did my best. I thought my commentary on the game was amazing. Yeah, it's probably the best game I've commentated on. Yeah, thanks a million. Leo. I know, look, it was. And I have to say that I was so impressed. I talked to Colm behind closed doors after the game, and I was so impressed with how well Meath managed the game. And even when they went down to 14 and it looked like the game was going against them, a game we could have won, we could have lost, but we came back to share the spoils. We kind of hit on that a few times. I'm really impressed with the maturity of this really young Meath team. And, you know, the future is bright for this crop of players if they can stick together and stick with the plan.
Alan McCormack said outrageous black card.
I didn't think so. And again, I thought that it was going to be a card of some sort. And the fact that James Smith was about to continue his run, like, he made the most of it. There's no doubt about it. But that's, and you don't like to see that in games. But he was checked after he released the ball. What did you think, David?
I'm going to go full Arsene Wenger here. I actually didn't see it.
Yeah, have you not watched it back? No.
No.
I genuinely, I'm a football man and I love the game. And I thought that the referee was left with no other decision other than to give the black card for what happened. It was avoidable, let's just say.
Okay, whatever you say.
I'll have a look back at it again, but in real time, I thought, this is not good.
Okay. Thomas Flood said, what's in Donal Keoghan's pocket?
I think he had a few lads in his pocket. But look, Keoghi just does it over and over again. I thought the two full forwards, in fairness, both Costello and Paddy Lynch, showed moments of absolute class. But in fairness to both full backs, they probably had the better of them. But that just shows you how good both of them are, that they were able to step up at different times. And and once they did get away from the markers, they were able to do something. But Keoghi was just immense again.
Yeah, he sure was. Shane Riley's next up. He said, Adam O'Neill, great performance. Good to be safe in Division 2. We deserve the win. Caulfield very unlucky at the end, and Cavan never lost their bitterness.
Do you know, I talked about, you and Paul Fitzpatrick talked about the rivalry between Meath and Cavan, and we don't really see that. Like, you know, this rivalry seems to be on one side really only, and like around North Meath there's that bit of banter and the whole lot, like, but I've never seen that. I never thought growing up that there was a massive rivalry between Meath and Cavan. But as I said to you during the week, like, if we want to go anywhere in this country, we very rarely have to pass through Cavan. If Cavan want to go anywhere in this country, they nearly always have to pass through Meath. If they want to go to a concert, if they want to go to Crow Park, if they want to go to anything good, they have to pass through Meath. From the top of the entry at Carnaross, the whole way up to Blanterstown, they're travelling through Meath. So they have probably got more reason to have a bitterness and a rivalry towards Meath.
Isn't it lovely to be able to bypass Cavan? Dekev Dunn said we really should have won.
Well, in hindsight and with reflection, Davey, you know, if you look at the second half alone, like, Meath had a wide and a drop short, a wide from a free. They kicked four scores and they had two goal opportunities. It's a game we could have won. Should have won. I'm not too sure about that. What's your take on it?
Look, I would probably agree with him. I think if you're 7-3 up at half time in any game, you should be winning it. So even chances aside that we spurned, I think from being in the position that we were in, we probably should have seen it out. I think that's first and foremost.
Yeah, like I said as well earlier on, if either side can feel aggrieved about not winning it, it would be Meath. You know, like, we had the bigger opportunities to win that game, but we were probably lucky to get a draw at the very death as well.
A bit of ref moaning coming up from two lads who like a moan, to be fair. First of them is Sean Caffrey. He said, ah, Jesus, lads, the ref. And PS Tapes followed that up by saying, ref gave Cavan 24 frees, Meath 9, blatantly bad. early one not given on Keoghan was outrageous.
The early one not given on Keoghan, is that the shoulder between Killian Brady and Keoghan? Is that what he's
well,
on?
Well, that was in the first half, so it probably was that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a free. I thought that was a good shoulder-to-shoulder tackle between the two of them.
I did think it was a free. No. It was a shoulder, but I don't think shoulder-to-shoulder. I think it was more of a shoulder to the chest.
All right. And the only thing I would have said about it was that I thought that the ball probably was more on the Cavan side, so he went by the ball. And if anything, that would be a free. Do you know that he didn't play the ball? He didn't go to play the ball. He went to play the man. As in, do you know what I mean? Like that Keoghan was trying to get by him to go for the ball. The ball was gone away from him and they met. So maybe, yeah, maybe I'd have to have a look at it.
I thought the Dixon one at the end was a dreadful call that he didn't give us a free in at the very end for a push on Danny Dixon.
Yeah. I called it on the commentary. I said, Danny Dixon goes to ground, nudge in the back. Oh, no free. Cavan have turned over the ball. Yeah.
Brian Flynn said, Jesus, the Mead lads must have had a feed since Wednesday. Such hunger for the ball. Ref was poor too.
It was the way they controlled the game, the hunger for the ball. I thought as well, even in the second half when we were under the cosh with Cavan coming forward in droves, that Mead's defensive setup was brilliant. They kept pushing them out to the sideline. They weren't able to break the lines and get in behind that often. And that's probably why we didn't give away any goal chances, because they were just so solid and hungry for that ball. And they tackled in numbers, little packs chasing around. It was great to see it.
Great to see. Kieran McGrogan said, if forwards can up their game, Mead can cause upsets come the summer. Must be more clinical.
Absolutely. You know, like there's the famous words of Colin McGrogan. Absolutely.
That's 100% a Simon Sen thing. He's loving it. Absolutely.
We absolutely do. There's no doubt about it. Like, you know, like I said in the Loyal Royals review of the game, like Dahi McGowan, Owen Frayne, Jack O'Connor, Shane Walsh, Matty Costello, Kyle Hickey, and the lads who come on into the forward line, the likes of Danny Dixon, Aaron Lynch, Rory Kinsella, none of them lacked endeavour. Like they worked their socks off. It just didn't go right in the scoring end of things. We look at their score conversion rate and stuff like that. But there's no doubt in the quality of these players, and that will come good. Defensively, we are sound at the minute.
Yeah. Dara Tui said Caulfield off the post with just a sad emoji.
Oh, honest to God. Like, again, a cold winter's night. No wind of any sort to talk about. And how that ball curled, it's the hardest thing to do on a really, really cold night, is curl in O'Neill's football. And it started when it left his foot right in the middle of the post. And I said, this is the winner. This is the absolute winner. Mm. And somehow it turned and turned and came off the upright and stayed in play. Didn't even go.
But it was such a tired kick.
Mm.
And it just lingered in the air for an eternity. Like if he was fresh and he kicked that, it would have been directly over the bar. Do you know what I mean? Just because he was absolutely knackered. Like it lacked power, so it tailed off.
Yeah, but it wasn't the wind that tailed it off. That's what I'm saying. He managed.
No, there was no wind.
There was no wind, and he managed to get some curl on it, which he was very unlucky. It was a lovely strike as well. It looked really good.
One of the stars of the show, Brian O'Halloran, has sent one in, and he said, Adam Mack not getting a yellow card. Yeah, that was one of the big things, isn't it?
That's probably the biggest talking point of the game, Davey, is it not? The fact that Adam Mack didn't get a yellow card. I'm nearly disappointed with him that he didn't, because it was a physical encounter and he didn't get stuck in when he went in there and take a yellow card.
We don't want Brian O'Halloran spending too much time around at Adam McDonald, because he's a lovely, clean player at the moment. So we don't want him rubbing off against Adam and getting a few bad habits.
I wouldn't mind a little bit more tinkerishness in Brian O'Halloran, a little bit more of a terrier in him, because he's a hell of a workhorse and some engine on him up and down that field. On Saturday night, and it was a soft enough pitch on Saturday night as well.
Joe McQueenie said, much better performance, just couldn't finish our chances. Brilliant crowd.
Yeah, great crowd. And it was always going to bring a great crowd, you know, straight up the entry. The only bottleneck was in Virginia. And a lovely grounds, it has to be said, Kingsman Breffni, with the terrace going the whole way around, and you're down there. We call it the Breffni Bowl sometimes. Great crowd. And yeah, that's the only thing. But like, if we look at the conversion rate for both teams, they both had plenty of misses, but the big misses came on the Meath side when we had two definite goal chances and maybe a third one as well.
Michael Tiernan said, odds on Adam O'Neill to keep Conn scoreless.
Look, wouldn't we love the chance to see that, Jule?
Every chance of it.
Yeah. And can you imagine if we got them in Navan, like in the All Ireland Championship, if we got
what happened?
That would be class.
Here's open. Matthew Carlin said, huge gap in the quality and performance between the top four and the bottom four of Division Two. I don't know. I don't really agree with that.
No, neither do I. Like, I saw some brilliant performances from Cork. Kildare have been in all the games that they've played in. You know, there's something amiss there at the moment. And then you've got Louth and Fermanagh. Look, we only beat Louth by a point. Cavan only beat Louth by a point. Fermanagh, are sticky. I think that Division Two is probably the most difficult division out of all the four divisions.
Yeah, and I would agree with him if he said the top two and the bottom six.
Yeah.
Because I do think Armagh and Donegal are a step ahead of everybody else. But I'd agree with you. I don't think, whilst we've beaten the teams, we haven't lost the teams below us, it's probably the better way of putting it, we haven't had it easy. You haven't had a comfortable victory in any of the games. So, I don't think you could really say that.
There hasn't been any big, massive wins in Division Two. I'd say probably Armagh's win over Meath was probably the biggest win in Division Two so far.
Donegal gave Kildare a trim. That backs up the point that we feel that those two teams are ahead of everybody.
For the most part, you know, there's not much between any of the teams.
No. Next in is Paul Markey, and he said Sean Brennan's free taken against Cavan.
Unbelievable. Like, it was just class. We saw Paddy Lynch missing a couple of frees against the wind. Sean Brennan was just pinging them. He's just got such a lovely strike of a ball. He makes it look so easy.
Yeah, class. I think that's it for Instagram Interactive, would you believe?
We rattled through them. There was a lot in it, and there was a lot of talking points that were relative to the Cavan Meath game. That's hence why we didn't go into depth about it, because we wanted to talk about it in the talking points. But it's a share of the spoils, and we're quite happy with where Meath are going at the moment, Davey. It has to be said, after drawing with Fermanagh, losing to Armagh, it's been a really good last three games, getting 5 points out of six. You know, you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, you would. You definitely would. You'd have taken it. I think we'll probably have a hint of regret about the Cavan game, and more notably the Fermanagh game, probably, Mickey. But yeah, at the same time, I'm pretty content that going into the last two games of the league, we're safe, and we can look forward to the summer or spring, I suppose.
That's when
Championship is now.
Yeah, well, we can look forward to the summer as well, because we'll be in the All-Ireland Championship in the summer. We'll be in the Leinster Championship in the spring. I suppose 5 games gone, Davey, before we finish up in the Alliance League. And when we looked at the start of the league, we were, before we knew what the team was going to be and before we knew the extent of the injuries and the whole lot, we have to give praise to the lads who have come in and have taken up the slack from where we finished off last year, and put in the performances that we have put in, David.
Yeah, there's been a huge, huge amount of change with the likes of Owen Frayne and Kieran Caulfield establishing themselves, Brian O'Halloran coming in as a Meath under 20, Sean Brennan getting the number one jersey, Campion coming back from injury and rediscovering himself at centre back, Keane McBride coming back from his travels in Australia. So there's been plenty. So despite all the heartache with the injury that we've had, it's been a real good opportunity for a number of players who have taken it, and they're not going to be easily moved out of it. So it's going to generate a really competitive squad for the championship, which is exactly what you want as a supporter, basically.
And one of the players you didn't mention, you know, who's gone in at full back, it's a very specific position, a very detailed position. Adam O'Neill has been a revelation in there. Brilliant at corner back last year, obviously. He's moved in and Kyogi has gone back there from the half-back line. He used to be one of our leaders in midfield and half-back line. Kyogi, he's gone back to do a job and let Adam O'Neill go into the full-back position. And he's been a revelation as well.
He's been superb. And the fact that we're not talking about him is exactly why we should be talking about him.
Yeah.
Because he's brilliant. I hate playing a defender like him, because he's a defender that loves to get out in front and beat a forward to a ball, which is a bit of a rarity nowadays. A lot of defenders stand off and let the forward get the ball before engaging him. He's Faye-esque in the sense that he loves to try and get a hand in, a boot in, anything at all. He's very disciplined in the tackle. He plays clean as well, I think it's fair to say. And he's just a class act. And I'm so happy for him. He's been our best player of the league, 100%. And when Ronan Ryan is back, you know, there'll be a bit of jigging and reeling, but I don't think he can move Adam O'Neill out of fullback, because he's really made it his own.
Yeah, he's been excellent, and he has been one of our best players, because you have to, again, go back to Kyogan, man the match the other night. We're going to leave it on this. Talk to me about his dispossession in the final stages of that game, down in the left corner forward position, down to our right-hand side as we were looking down in the field. But it looked like Cavan were just about to burst through and maybe get a winning score. Somehow, Kyogan stole the ball.
Yeah, I was talking about that to Damien Donoghue after the game on the Matchday Diary, and I think Damien summed it up really well, actually. He said that Kyogan showed all of his experience there. He came storming in from absolutely nowhere, right? Cut off the avenue, but he didn't commit, as in he didn't go in and commit a silly foul and give Cavan an easy tap over point. He managed to get himself between the goals and the man, so that the fisted effort from, was it Ger Smith, or who was it coming in along the end line, Mickey?
I think it was Jerry Smith, yeah, another experienced player for Cavan, yeah.
He made it really difficult for him, so he ended up just fisting the ball, hopefully towards the goal. And to be fair, Sean Brennan and Brian O'Halloran did the rest and cleaned it up. But it was a brilliant piece of cornerback play from an unbelievable player. I'm delighted. I know Paul Fitzpatrick wasn't there to watch it, but he was talking last week on the preview about looking forward to watching Kyogan. And I'm sure there were a lot of Cavan people that were going to it looking forward to watching Kyogan. And I'm delighted that he performed again. He always performs, but it was just great for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, two Man of the Match awards in a row for Donal Kyogan. What a servant, what a player. And when he goes, and hopefully it won't be for another couple of years, it'll be a massive void to fill. But there's no doubt about it, one of the greatest. Look, that's it from our We Are Meath podcast for this week. Remember, We Are Meath, why matters more.